Our next presenter will be John Sawyer, discussing database-driven nitrogen decision support, corn nitrogen rate calculator.
Okay, thank you, Carrie. I want to recognize a co-author on the paper, Emerson Nassinger, and here in a few minutes I'll show a slide that gives a list of names of other individuals that were very important in development of the corn N rate calculator and the maximum return to nitrogen topic that we'll be covering. So just to kind of clarify, the corn N rate calculator is the online tool that's used across seven states in the Midwest to deliver nitrogen rate guidelines, and you can see the list of the states there. And the database behind that is what the calculator uses, and then we have the approach is called the maximum return to nitrogen, or MRTN approach. And I'll be spending most of the time on that approach, but just wanted to make sure that you realize that the online tool called the corn N rate calculator is the delivery mechanism for those rate guidelines. And there in the background of the slide is the input screen, one of the input screens from the calculator, and you can kind of see how that interface would work. Back in when we started this process of the maximum return to N was a pretty major change in how nitrogen rate guidelines are provided. Maybe still a little controversial, and we'll talk about some of those issues as we go through, but I want to spend most of the time talking about the MRTN approach. So why was this approach developed? Well, in the mid-2000s, some folks, some agencies were asking why we have different recommendations and different guidelines in different states across the Midwest, and there were many reasons for that, but what our group wanted to do, and folks from those different states, was try to come up with a way that would get away from having diverse systems for developing nitrogen rates. In the mid-2000s, there was really volatile nitrogen fertilizer and corn prices, and at that time, corn prices were low and nitrogen zoomed up. Now we have nitrogen that's kind of steady and corn prices have gone back down, so having that economic component was something that was needed, and the nitrogen price and corn price had really gone away from nitrogen guidelines in the Midwest, and so we wanted to bring that back. And we also were finding that there was a lack of optimum N rate relationship with corn yield level, and generally the research was showing that as yield has gone up or had gone up over time, the economic optimum had not gone in concert with that increase in yield, and the prime example of that was in Illinois, where the southern area of the state with the lower organic matter, lower productive soils actually needed more nitrogen than be derived from a yield-based type of relationship. And that movement away from yield itself was a very controversial move and still I think gets a lot of discussion. Here's an example slide of data from the Illinois Central Illinois database. We have corn yield at the economic optimum versus the economic optimum N rate, and one of the things that we've seen is a scatter diagram like this where that yield just does not have a direct relationship to economic rate. And if we think back to Stanford's classic paper, we all think about the yield times a factor that's being suggested by Stanford in his paper as a recommendation system. But in reality, we've forgotten about all the other factors that he suggested would be important for determining nitrogen rates and nitrogen application rates until we, I think, figure out how to get at all those other factors and get those correct. This type of simplistic a yield times a factor to get an economic rate has had some issues. So the development of the maximum return of nitrogen and corn N rate calculator timeline, we had discussions on a regional basis in 2004. And again, I'll show the group of people here in a minute that were involved in that. We developed the initial trial database in 2005. The web corn N rate calculator went live in 2005, and then we developed a regional extension publication in 2006, and you see the little picture of that. And then the corn nitrogen rate calculator, we've got the URL there, and if you do a Google search for corn N rate calculator, you'll find that URL where we provide the guidelines for nitrogen rates across those seven states in the Midwest. One of the groups, or the group that was involved in development of MRTN approach and the corn N rate calculator, you can see on the screen here, And I've highlighted many people were involved and really have appreciated their input and initial development over time. But I highlighted Larry Bundy. We're at the Dr. Bundy Symposium here. And I just wanted to give a little bit of background and some things that Larry was involved with as we discussed and developed this regional nitrogen rate approach. So the full first bullet point there says it's argued in his publications for inclusion of soil-specific characteristics to refine nitrogen rates. I put the word argued in there on purpose because I don't think I ever heard Larry argue with anybody. But he certainly would look at you and quietly talk to you about what he thought and what he was thinking, and through those quiet conversations, he could convince you of many things. So it was through his research and his publications that he argued for his principles, but I couldn't resist putting the thought process in my brain of Larry arguing with you over some sort of subject. He might want to get to fishing and what kind of lure to use, but not certainly when it came to nitrogen. In his papers and his research, he really argued for using data from multiple nitrogen rate response trials for fertilizer rate recommendations and guidelines, and not using yield goals, but instead using soil yield potential, and that yield potential still exists. Even though we have a common approach across the Midwest, that soil yield potential approach still exists in Wisconsin. But one of the major drivers for the MRTN and the corn rate calculator is the database of nitrogen response curves. And Larry really argued that that is what should be the basis for determining nitrogen rates. And so kind of helped push us in that direction. We'll talk about that in a minute. He also spent time in that discussion and development of the corn rate calculator and the MRTN approach. He spent time analyzing data from long-term trials in Wisconsin and Iowa to look at what the response to nitrogen looked like and what the rate guidelines might have looked like over time, and he really didn't find much change in that long time period as far as economic rates despite yield differences. So Larry wrote a section in that extension publication. I just wanted to bring a little text from that to get you a chance to see what he was thinking about. So I'll read through this real quickly. Recently, we examined corn yield response data from about 20 site years in Wisconsin that were separated by 10 to 12 years in time. Comparison showed no clear indication that current optimum rates are higher than those 10 years ago. Using long-term data from two Iowa cropping systems experiments, optimum rates observed in recent 10 to 12-year period with those from preceding 10 to 12 years provided no clear indication of change in N rates over time. And then potential reasons for similar or decreasing optimum N rates for yields have increased substantially, including he gave several thoughts there. So really he was, in his analysis, giving us the indication, again, that as corn yields had gone up quite dramatically over time, the economic optimum N rates had not gone up in concert. And this was a really major determinant for why we developed what we did in that maximum return N approach. So the reason I think I'm here today talking about this again, and the title of the presentation is the database-driven approach. And what that means for the MRTN approach is we have a database of corn N-rate response trials. So replicated, randomized, at least five nitrogen rates go into a rate response, and you've all seen the curves where you have N-rate versus yield response, and those are what we talk about with our N-rate trials. And using a little poetic license here on the number of rates and number of replications, we currently have about 1,500 trials in that corn N rate calculator database across the seven states. That ends up being somewhere around 36,000 research plots. And so I'm calling this big data. It may not be big data in what some people think about, but in the research world, this is a large database and something that really takes a lot of time and effort to develop. So right now in the database, 100% of those research trials are less than 25 years old, and more than 90% are less than 15 years old. And so we're working with a very recent database of nitrogen rate response trials in corn across the Midwest. And I think what's unique about this MRTN approach is we're taking that current data and we're developing nitrogen rate guidelines. There's nothing in between. We go directly from the response trials to the rate guidelines. And I think that's a really interesting and unique approach of using research data to generate what kind of nitrogen rate should be used in production fields. And so this is that database-driven approach. So what are the steps in the MR10 computation? Well, you collect end response trials, you observe the shape of the response data, you fit regression models or equations to each trial data set, or each trial, and then compile that data set of responses for, at least in our case, continuous corn and corn following soybean. And this then develops the database that's in the corn end rate calculator that's used for the rate guidelines. The MR10 approach then uses that database to calculate out a recommended or suggested rate. And so by 1 pound increments from 0 to 240 pounds of N per acre, we calculate the gross return, the fertilizer cost, and the net return to nitrogen for each of those regression models. So if you have 200 sites in the database, you have 200 regression models, you calculate those economic values for all 200. The user, when they run the calculator, they will determine what subset of the database to use, whether it's continuous corn, corn following soybean, what state they're in or sub-state area, what nitrogen corn price they want to calculate and use. And then once those input decisions are made, the corn end rate calculator pulls out that data set of trials and averages across the return to nitrogen across those trials. And then the rate, as far as nitrogen, it provides the highest maximum average return to nitrogen is the MR10 suggested rate. And then we provide a profitable range of rates within $1 per acre of that maximum. We really don't know exactly what rate should be used. We know, and we'll show a slide here in a minute, that an economic analysis, it's called a flat payoff function, and so we decided to provide a rate range as well as where that maximum rate took place. So this is the steps, and when you run the corn end rate calculator, this is the steps that goes through, and again, when a user decides to use that online tool, they decide what database set they're going to use, and then that research data set's used every time a rate selection is done. So this is an example of what comes out of the calculator then. You've got different prices for corn and nitrogen, and I just set up with this example at $4 per bushel of corn and then changed the nitrogen price to get different price ratios, and obviously the price ratio then determines the economic return. And the peak of those return curves is where the MR10 is at, and then within a dollar on each side of that maximum would be the most profitable range. And this is just an example for, I think this is the Iowa corn following soybean data set. And so the calculator actually gives these in numerical values, but they also get to see this type of graph, and they can see what's going on with that rate selection for different price ratios and price scenarios. And there's that indication of the flat payoff function, where at the peak of those curves, it gets pretty flat. And so it's not well known exactly what rate would be required, and any rate within those ranges are going to give pretty similar net return to nitrogen. And so we do provide that flexibility. Some of the strengths of this MR10 approach, then, it's a very straightforward computation. I've had people maybe give some criticism, it's too simple. You know, in this day and age, if it's not complex and difficult, it can't be good. And this is a pretty straightforward and simple approach, and I think we'll talk about how it works here in a minute. The other strength is it's based directly on nitrogen response trials, so we're taking the research and we're directly using it for a rate recommendation and extension approach. I like it because we can have different trials developed from different types of nitrogen rates, so you don't have to have the same N rate done everywhere. It documents the data that's used for guidelines. How many times have we had the recommendation systems and there's a publication, but nobody knows where the data is at anymore to develop that recommendation or that guideline? And this, we know exactly where the research is and what it is that's in there. It does incorporate nitrogen response from temporal and spatial variability, which we can argue a lot about whether that's good or bad, but it certainly does incorporate that. And we've not done it in the corn end rate calculator, but we can include environmental costs. So if you tell me how much per pound of nitrogen we would be charging for nitrate getting to water systems, that can be added in, and that would then influence the rate of application. And the corn end rate calculator also provides details of response data in the output. So what does this look like? One of the things I said it's easy to do is add new response trials. This is the Iowa max return to M rate over time for corn after corn and corn after soybean. And you can see it's crept up over time. That's because we've had some pretty wet years in Iowa and our economic optimum rates have crept up. And so you can see that's going up slowly. If you look at the 100 to 150 pound range and 150 to 200 pound range, those rates are still within those ranges. And in Iowa, we've had those 100, 150, 150, 200 pound ranges since the 1970s. So even today, our recommendations are still within ranges that have been in existence for quite a while in Iowa. Some other strengths of the approach is based on economic profitability. Directly provides continuous corn and corn soybean rate guidelines. We don't have to worry about some inconsistent soybean credit between those two rotations. This system can be used for any rate dependent input, seeding rates, nitrogen rate for wheat, you know, things like that. And it provides that dynamic system, and it also states like Wisconsin and Illinois have developed apps for mobile phones, so recommendations can be developed that way. When we started this process of the MRTN, it's really gotten adapted over time to several different things. We basically had one recommendation per state when we started, but now we have states that are using different sub-state decisions. So Wisconsin uses soil yield potential, Illinois uses different geographic regions, Indiana's using different geographic and soil regions. In Iowa, I'm getting very close to suggesting we implement a southeast Iowa region where we have poorly drained soils and very high rainfall causing higher need for nitrogen inputs. So it's adapted over time and probably will continue into the future. We do provide opportunity for user input and nitrogen rate adjustment, obviously rotation selection, price selection, but we provide that most profitable range and producers can use a variety of decision aids to say where they want to be in that range. And so we don't really just provide one suggested rate, but we provide opportunity for selection of rates within those ranges. So one of the questions that comes up is how well does the MRTN approach work? So I went into the Iowa database and I compared the MRTN recommendation versus using the exact site economic optimum from every response trial. And we have about $13 to $16, $17 per acre potential benefit to come out of using the exact rate that's required every site that's in the database. Now, one of the things I know from these databases, because I work with it, especially the Iowa database, is the big driver in that $13 and $16 is those extremely small percentages of site years that are very wet. So we have that issue of the yield loss in some very small percentages of fields that drive that economic differential from the optimum. Also, we have to just think about whether $13 and $16.92 or $17, how much of that would we have available after we spend the cost for site-specific determination rates? And is that enough money to pay for that decision process? So something to think about. And then finishing up, we do have to worry about the environment, and this is a relationship between rate selection and tile flow nitrate. So the solid line is the, we call the universal nitrate loss curve in Iowa. It's the application rate versus the nitrate concentration. The dashed line is the net return to nitrogen for corn following soybean. And the MRTN rate compared to a yield goal-based rate from that data set, you can see that we have an improvement in tile flow nitrate concentration by using that suggested nitrogen rate rather than the old yield goal type of a system. So it doesn't drop the nitrogen as far as nitrate concentration water down to zero by using recommended rates, but it certainly, you can see if the shape of that nitrate curve as it accelerates as, with high rates helps moderate that environmental potential issue. So what are we going to do in the future with the corn in-rate calculator and maximum return to N? The positive of the system is we're using current nitrogen rate trials. Kind of the bugaboo of the system is we have to have current nitrogen rate trials. And that's its challenge, to continually do that research, provide true nitrogen response curves to keep the database current. And that's good and bad because we can keep it current, but we do struggle on having the ability to generate the responses over time to keep it a really current database. And then there's lots of opportunities for creating more sub state areas. We have a lot of watersheds being focused on now in Iowa, for example, and we could really populate a lot of response trials within those watersheds and see if those more regional areas require a different end rate than what we might have on a broader scale. So there are some real opportunities there to generate more data that can be fit into this type of a system. And then we talk about it a lot, but we would like to try to explore some additional output from the corn end rate calculator to help people understand the understanding of the nitrogen rate they're selecting and what it means from our research database. So lots of opportunities for things to come. We just need to bear down and make those happen. Okay, Carrie, with that, I'm where I needed to be. We're done. Okay, thank you.